Now, if not, you can follow along on the screens, and we'll be reading from John chapter number 12, verses 1 through 9, and we'll also take a look at one verse that we'll add with this from the same story, but a different location. And we'll be in John chapter number 12 to start off and to begin with this morning. I'm thankful once again that you're here, and I know it's a weekend that we like to celebrate and like to have barbecues. I do, all right? So I enjoy doing those type of things, and I have a family reunion that's going on right now over at my mama's place, and I'm so thankful that I'm in church and not at the family reunion. Somebody say amen. And anyhow, if my mama's watching this morning, I'm sorry I said that. I didn't mean it. But for the rest of y'all, y'all know that I did. And she does too. She knows that I mean it as well. And me and Michelle, we worked yesterday, and we redid the barn, and I did a lot of shelving in the barn yesterday, and Michelle helped me. I was telling everybody during our prayer time, I can hardly move this morning, and so anyhow, I'm getting old. Somebody said, you don't know what old is, and I said, Lord Jesus, just take me now, and because if it gets any worse than my back feels right now, I'm ready to go right at this moment. And every time I rolled over last night, I woke myself up going, oh, oh, oh. I woke up this morning, first words out of my mouth, Michelle, we got to get a new bed. And it was rough. But anyhow, we've enjoyed our time working. All right. So John chapter number 12, if you're there, say amen. All right. Let's take a look. We'll read down through verse number 9. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. All right, anybody, what's the significance of 6 days before the Passover here in John chapter number 12? Don't everybody speak at one time. Huh? No. Anybody? All right, good. We'll learn something. You'll learn something from church today, if nothing else, all right? All right, we'll talk about it here in a little bit, all right? Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And so we got a little timeline here. Of course, we know John chapter number 11 is where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And so he is now in Bethany, where Lazarus was raised from the dead. More than likely, this is just a carryover from that time. And the Bible says in verse number 2, and there they made him a supper. And so they made this supper for Jesus. And the Bible says, and Martha served. If you was here a few Wednesday nights ago, we talked about Mary and Martha, all right? And this is a lot of my study from that. You can't put everything into one sermon, all right? And so anyhow, we noticed about Martha, every time that we seen Martha in Scripture, what was she doing? Serving. And every time we seen Mary in Scripture, what was she doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, all right? And of course, we're going to see that they're doing the same thing. The Bible says that Martha served, but the Bible says, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Here the writer, John, he is reminded. He was there. He witnessed this. And one of his memories of this was how the entire house was filled with the odor of this, not odor in a bad sense, but the aroma of this ointment that she had placed onto Jesus' feet. The Bible says in verse number 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? The Bible tells us here this 300 pence, when you go and you study this, what Mary offered, and I'm getting all over my sermon here, but what she offered was equivalent to a year's wages, all right, for a man, not for a woman, for a year's wages for a man. I say, what's the significance of that? The women didn't get paid back in these days, all right? This is a different culture. And so it would have been for us to think, well, it was a woman's pay, it was a woman's pay, whatever she could gather together. That's not the case. It was a year's salary for a man, so it could have taken her years to accumulate this amount of spikenard and oil and different things. All right, and so this wasn't a small gift. Verse number 6 said this, "This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." And so John, probably here later, has insight into the fact that Judas was a thief the entire time, and he's the one that had the bag. And now I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on, but I think it bears saying here. I told you before, in John chapter number 13, which is the next chapter we will watch, or we'll read about, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And you'll remember I've told you over and over again, Judas was sitting at that table. All right, is everybody with me? Amen. Now, John here lets us know that Judas was a thief, all right? And Jesus, knowing all things, washed the feet of Judas, not only knowing that he would betray him, but knowing that the entire existence of Judas, as one of his disciples, Judas was a thief. I don't know if you get the true meaning of this. And I want you to understand this too. Jesus put Judas in charge of the treasury, knowing that he was a thief. And once again, I think this shows us more than anything that Jesus is willing to forgive the unforgivable. There was an opportunity, and I believe that Jesus worked very hard for Judas. I don't think he just threw him to the wolves, but I'll get into a little bit later. Judas, his betrayal of Jesus it started way before the night before the cross, all right? And so this was going on. He was a thief. The Bible says in verse number 7, "Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came out," excuse me, "and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead." When we go over to Matthew chapter number 26, and you don't have to turn there, but there is a promise that is given at the end of this same example or this same story. In Matthew chapter number 26, the writer Matthew is writing here, and he said this in verse number 13. At the end of the same event, the same story, it said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial for her." So John does not record this promise from Jesus, but Matthew lets us know that in this instant, when Mary was here at the feet of Jesus and Mary was anointing his feet for his burial, Matthew says that Jesus gave a promise that from here on out, this would be a memorial for Mary, all right? And she would be talked about. And of course, here we are 2,000 years later, and guess what we're doing? We're talking about what she did to Jesus. It was a memorial. Jesus was very right. He was very true in his promise here that from here on out, where the gospel is preached, that this would be for a memorial for her. And of course, we celebrate this weekend as Memorial Day. And for those of you that don't know, it is a day that we celebrate those that have died for our freedom, all right? There's nothing wrong with celebrating veterans. I need somebody to hear me. But Memorial Day is for those that have paid the ultimate price. They have given their life so that you and I could have this freedom. And I'm sure that some of you, and maybe all of you, have somebody that you're connected to. You may not even know it, but you have somebody that you're connected to that died in service or died in battle. And you and I get to sit in a church in Lake Park, Georgia, on a Sunday morning, and we get to worship Jesus. How many of you know this? There's countries that they'll meet today, countries that they've already started their day, and they'll never hear about Jesus. Why? Because it is forbidden in their country. It is illegal in their country. And so there's people that'll go throughout this whole day, and they'll go to sleep tonight not even knowing that there's a Savior that died for them. Not even knowing that somebody is offering them freedom. They may not live in America and enjoy the freedom that you and I do, but spiritually, everybody in this world can enjoy the liberty and the freedom that is through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus, He brings out something about this woman, and He says that from here on out, this will be a memorial for her. So I'm preaching this morning on a Memorial Day. Amen. I want you to notice four things and I'll be done. But I want you to notice about this woman, I want you to notice the occasion of her worship. I told you in the beginning, I said that it was 6 days before the Passover. I asked you what was the significance of that. And we got some good answers. There wasn't nothing wrong with the answers. But what I was really looking for is this was the last week that Jesus would be alive on the earth. This was the last week, the last 6 days. We are approaching the cross. The Passover would be 6 days later. Jesus would be hanging on a cross in 5 days. Is everybody with me? This was His last week, all right? This was His last time, if you will, here on the earth, that He would gather together with friends and family. So we see the occasion of His worship. It was an appreciation supper. I don't know if you caught this, but they were giving Him a supper, and the Bible says that it was for Him. And the reason that they were giving Him the supper is because He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And Mary and Martha and, of course, Lazarus, I'm sure. I'm not really sure that Lazarus was happy about being raised from the dead. I'm just going to be honest with you right here. I think that Jesus wept not because Lazarus had died, but Jesus wept because He was bringing Lazarus back to this world. And I think if we got a good testimony from Lazarus, he would have said, "Leave me there." Is everybody all right? I know that ain't exciting or anything for you to hear, but the fact is that, like I said earlier, if it gets much worse than I am right now, Lord Jesus, take me on. Hallelujah. I'm ready to be there. Is everybody all right? I never thought I'd say that. I remember when the preacher, I said this, I get mixed up sometimes, but I remember saying this recently. I can remember when the preacher said, "Jesus is coming back soon." And I was a teenager, and I was like, "Well, I hope He don't come back before I get my driver's license." Right? I started dating Michelle, and the preacher would stand up, and he said, "Jesus is coming back soon." I was like, "I sure hope He don't come back before I get to marry this girl." And all through my life, it's been, "I hope He don't so I can do this," or "I hope He don't so I can do that." Now, I'm that old preacher that stands up there and says, "Man, I sure hope He comes back tomorrow." I'd sure like to wake up tomorrow and not be in pain. I need somebody to help me. The Bible says that this occasion for her worship, it was an appreciation supper, but I want you to understand this was His last week on the earth. Now, what does that mean to us? It doesn't mean much to us because we know the whole story. But you have to understand this for Mary. She understood. I believe Mary understood more than all of the disciples, and I hope to be able to show that here in a little bit. But I believe she understood more than all of the disciples because Mary was doing something. She recognized that this was the week. She recognized that His hour had come. She recognized that this was her last opportunity that she was going to have while he was alive for her to display publicly her worship for him. The Bible tells us not only here in John 12, but in Matthew chapter number 26, that Jesus said that she did this for his burial. Not to celebrate what he had done for her, not to appreciate what he had done for her concerning Lazarus, but this was done for Jesus concerning his burial. This was the last opportunity that Mary was going to get to show her love and devotion to Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth before the cross. So I want you to understand that she took full advantage of an opportunity to worship. And I want to say this with all my heart this morning. This may be our last opportunity to worship him. Today may be your last opportunity to worship him. You and I, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed to live tomorrow. These people that are dropping dead, how many of y'all watch them videos, a sudden death video? People just standing there and all of a sudden drop dead. You and I don't know. You do not know when your time is going to come. I watched one this morning, and I don't know what I clicked on, but anyhow, there was a car, and they crossed the double line on a blind curve and went out to pass somebody, and a motorcycle was coming. Not a good outcome. Is everybody all right? You do not know when your day is coming. It may come suddenly. It may come because of somebody else. Can I get a witness right there? It may not even be your fault that you cross over to the other side. It may be because of the actions of somebody else. It may be that you just drop dead and it's your time to go. But it may be that the trumpet's going to sound this afternoon, or the trumpet's going to sound tomorrow. And while you and I will get to worship him there in his presence and at his feet, well, the last day on earth could be today.
Right.
How are you going to worship him?
Amen.
How are you going to worship him? Let me just stop and ask this question right here. Are you satisfied with your worship up until this point in the service today? Because oftentimes we think, oh, we'll have another day. Come on, y'all, help me. How many of you got a loved one that's going on?
That's right.
A loved one that you stood at a graveside for. A loved one that you attended a funeral service for. And how many of you thought to yourself, well, I'll have another day. I'll get to say things. Come on, y'all, help me.
Amen.
I'll get to say some things. I'll just wait. Man, this thing got me this morning. I'm thankful for Memorial Day. And I'm going to try to preach the rest of this sermon, but my heart, my thoughts are this. Say what you're going to say now.
Right.
Thankful for Memorial Day. I'm thankful we can look back and be appreciative of what they did. But say what you're going to say and do what you're going to do now. Mary recognized an opportunity. This was the occasion of her worship. She knew she would not get another opportunity. She would not get a chance. How different would your worship be today if you knew that you couldn't worship him tomorrow?
Amen.
We see the occasion of her worship. Number two, we see the occupants of her worship. I notice this. The Bible tells us that this supper was going on in Bethany. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 26 that it was at Simon the leper's house. And I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm wondering if Simon the leper wasn't Martha's husband. But anyhow, that's another story. We'll get into that in somewhere else. But I'm wondering if Martha, Mary, and Lazarus didn't have a whole lot more to be thankful for, and that Martha had a husband that was cured from leprosy by Jesus. But we see in Matthew 26, we're at Simon the leper's house, and in both cases, Martha is serving.
That's right.
And I'm just wondering, as the hostess, if this wasn't her husband. Anyhow, another story. We'll do that some other time. The occupants. I want you to notice that Jesus was in the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We can shout all day. Jesus was in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, business picks up.
Amen.
Right? But I want you to notice who else was in the house. The disciples. The disciples were sitting around this table. They walked with him for 3 years now. And they had heard his teaching for 3 years now, but they had missed the point of it. They had missed the point of it. Matter of fact, here soon, Jesus will tell them that in John chapter number 13 that he's going to die, and Simon Peter will say, uh-uh. You ain't, right? Come on, y'all help me. Right? Simon Peter said, uh-uh. Simon Peter said, I ain't going to let it happen. I'll go to the death with you. Right? They didn't understand. Brother Herman, they had sat under all of his teaching, but yet they had no understanding. And isn't that like the church today? We've sat under so much of teaching, but yet we have no understanding. We do not understand. Mary understood. The very few times in Scripture that we have, there's three incidences that we have of Mary in Scripture. All three incidences, she is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And all three, just three sermons. Now, I know she heard more than that. But out of three sermons, she had more understanding about him and what was going on than the disciples out of 3 years of worship. 3 years of being with him. 3 years of service with him. She had more, as far as we know, in three separate instances than they had in 3 years of service. She had a better understanding. And so we see these disciples sitting around. I need somebody to help me this morning. I wonder if the reason that you and I don't worship is because we're so much like the disciples. We're full of knowledge, but no understanding. We know more about the events of Jesus Christ and his life than the disciples did.
Amen.
We have it written down. They forgot stuff, right?
Amen.
You and I have it written down. We have a knowledge. Not only do we have a knowledge of what happened with Christ, but we have a knowledge of the future that they probably didn't have. We have all this knowledge, and yet we have no understanding.
Amen.
The Bible says in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it could be gone.
That's right.
Your opportunity to worship could be gone. Your opportunity to be saved could be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so we see the occupants of our worship. Jesus was there. The disciples were there. But only Mary was worshiping. Martha was there, but she had no understanding of it either. Martha served, and there's nothing wrong with serving. But this was the last week. There's nothing wrong with doing and serving the Lord. But this was the last time. We do not have another place in Scripture where Martha got to serve again. This was it. And Mary worshiped. Martha served. Simon the leper. It was his house. I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
At this time, leprosy was one of those diseases that was incurable. And yet, for him to be called Simon the leper and them meeting at his house meant that he was, which meant that Jesus at some point did something very significant in his life. He healed him of a disease that was considered incurable. And yet Simon the leper is sitting at the table. What about, hey, is everybody all right? What about Lazarus? He's sitting at the table. I mean, maybe Lazarus was upset that Jesus brought him back. Maybe he was holding grudges. I don't know. But I'm thinking he got another opportunity to be with his family. He might have been a little excited about it. If there was anybody that knew the power of God, it was Lazarus. I mean, everybody, Lazarus, the Bible says that Jesus stood outside the tomb. They rolled the stone away, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus knew the power behind that voice. He knew the Creator's voice better than anybody else. Lazarus understood. If there was anybody that could understand how powerful that he was, it was Lazarus. They let us know, the Bible tells us that he was wrapped in grave clothes when he came out. You know why the Bible tells us that? Just in case any of you skeptics think there was somebody hiding in there getting him ready to come out.
Amen.
By himself, because of the voice of God, Lazarus come out of the tomb wrapped in grave clothes. Now, I've said this before 100 times, and I believe with all my heart, after 4 days of being wrapped in grave clothes, I just know what it's like to lay 4 hours in the bed. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Lazarus wasn't jumping around like some of y'all thinking. Lazarus come out of that grave in the air, levitating. Lazarus knew the power of God. And yet he sat there. There wasn't nothing wrong with sitting with Jesus, but help me, y'all. Couldn't we do better? Mary shows us true devotion as she worshiped. We see the occasion of worship. We see the occupants of her worship. We see the offering of her worship. I want you to notice, first off, its candidness. She didn't care what everybody else thought. She wasn't worried about who was in the room. I told you the culture was different. Woman didn't make money back in these days. A man did. Unless a woman didn't have a man. And oftentimes in that case, the woman made money not in things that would be respectable.
Amen.
But here, Mary is at a table, is in a room. Let me say it that way. She's in a room where the men were invited. The disciples were invited. Martha was doing what the women do. Serving. Listen, don't get mad. We're talking about a culture 2,000 years ago. Martha was doing what a woman did in that culture. Mary wasn't. Do you understand that? Do you get a grasp of that? Mary, this wasn't normal. What Mary was doing wasn't normal. It wasn't something that was accepted. We see that because Judas had a problem with it. It wasn't something that went on a lot. But yet Mary shows us through her candidness. She didn't care who was in there. The Bible says she come in and she took the only spot that was available to her at the table. And that was at his feet. She wasn't offered a place where she could sit next to Jesus, though she loved him more than everybody at the table. She wasn't offered a place where she could lean her head on his breast like John was.
Amen.
She wasn't offered that opportunity. She took the only place that was available to her, and that was at his feet. A place that she was very familiar with. A place that she had been before. But this time it was different. Because this time, we not only see her candidness, but we see her cost. She poured out everything she had, every expense she had ever saved up, she poured it out, saying, "You're worthy." She poured it out, saying, "You are worthy." I need somebody to help me right here, because we're real good at holding back. We'll give some, but we ain't giving all. We'll give a little bit, but we're not going to give all. We'll come into church and we'll give a little bit of worship. We may raise our hand, a little bit. We may stand up, a little bit. We may say amen, a little bit. Is everybody all right? She was fully committed. She was in it for the long haul. She gave everything she had and poured it out at the feet of Jesus. Everything. A year's worth of a man's wage, probably a lifetime of her savings, And she said, if I can only offer one gift in my entire life, I'll devote this gift to him. We see the cost of it. We see her commemorating. Once again, don't try to write that down, all right? Because y'all can't spell. But her commemorating. The Bible says she did this for his burial. His burial. She had, as I've already said, a better understanding of the teachings of Christ than everybody that was at that table, at this supper. But I want you to notice lastly about her offering, its curriculum. I had its class. What it taught us is what I'm trying to get to you. I've already mentioned this, but this is where my heart is this morning. She gave while he was still there to receive. Today, you and I will celebrate men and women that gave their lives. Tomorrow, we'll celebrate men and women that gave their lives so that you and I could be free. But you and I sit by veterans every single day. That in one event could have been a name underneath a flag. In one moment could have been a name underneath a flag that you and I are remembering. Amen. Right? Stay with me. She teaches us a lesson. And that lesson is to love now. To love now. Not to wait and wish you would have said this or wish you would have said that, but to love now. Amen. To tell them how you feel now. I need somebody to help me. Amen. I was watching a show, and how many of y'all, I better not even say, how many of y'all like TV shows like SWAT? Y'all watch that? And all of this stuff political. I don't like all that portion of it. But I was watching SWAT here recently. And anyhow, they have a tradition in SWAT to where they write a letter out to their wives or their loved ones. And they write this letter and they keep it in their locker. And in the event that they die, that letter is given to their loved one. That letter tells how they love them and tells all these things and all these things that they wish they could say. Now that I'm gone type letter, right? And I was watching this thing, and anyhow, the commanding officer, one of the guys hands him the letter, and he says, "I want you to give this if something goes wrong in this operation." He says, "I want you to give this to my partner." It wasn't his wife, but my partner. And I can remember the commander, he said, "Man, I hate this tradition." And if you understand the story and if you followed the show, you know this commander lost his wife. He thought he would be the first to go, and so he wrote a letter. But the fact is that she went before him. Amen. And so she never got the letter. She never heard how he really felt about her. That's right. He assumed that he would die first and that she would get the letter and she would know all the things that he wished he'd have said to her. Amen. Thing tore me up. How many of us live our life every day without saying what we should be saying? Without taking the opportunity to tell mama we love them, a daddy we love them, a spouse how we truly feel about them, a child how we truly feel about them. The government does what the government does. They just make us a day called Memorial Day that we can feel better about ourselves for not saying what we should have said. Mary. She could have said, you know what, I'm going to wait till next week. I'm going to wait till next week. I'm sure he'll be back through Bethany. I'm sure I'll get the opportunity to tell him. I'm sure the day will come around where I can get this thing right and I can really, I don't want to do it in a crowd. Y'all help me. I don't want to do it in a crowd. I don't want everybody to see me. I don't want everybody to hear what I got to say. I'll just wait till next week. I'll wait till next Monday. I'll pull him to the side and I'll talk to him. I'll just wait till the next time and I'll pull him off to the side, just me and him, and I'll tell him how I really feel. How many times in Scripture, how many times in life, somebody said, I'll just wait till next week. I'll just wait till next week. I'm not going to preach the last point, but it's the objection to her worship. And, of course, it was about Judas. He had a problem with it. And I don't want to focus on Judas. I want to ask you a question. What if today was the last day? What if today there's not next week? There's not tomorrow. What if today, this is it? Let me encourage you. This is what we're going to do. Heads are bowed with me. I want you